Roky Sasaki will not be joining the New York Mets, and a new pivot plan at first base. All of that, the focus of the latest edition of the Believe in Mets podcast. Chris Schubert, Jack McKessie, back with you once again. Appreciate you all being here as we talk about your favorite baseball team, that being the New York Mets. And we have, for the longest time, been planning our prospect episode. We're just working on it behind the scenes. We're doing all the magic. And every time we get to this stage where we press the big red button, we press record, and we start a show, there's news, there's rumors, there's stories to discuss. And we've got Roky Sasaki, and we have a new pivot plan at first base for the New York Mets and a Pete Alonso update. Jack, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Chris. Yeah, I have tabs still open about the prospect episode that we were thinking about doing before we hopped on StreamYard here. And listen, there's a lot to talk about in terms of the starting pitching situation that the Mets have with the going forward and at first base as well, according to SNY's Andy Martino. So excited to get into that, Chris. I'm excited to talk some ball and talk some Mets.
It's always fun when I have to edit the title of the podcast episode when we record it. Normally, I put it in there, and today it was the prospect thing, just like it was the last couple times we've recorded. And nope, got to erase that because we're doing Roky Sasaki and the first base pivot plan. Now, Roky Sasaki is not picking the New York Mets, but you can pick BetOnline because they continue to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion with the largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college basketball, to NHL, to UFC. BetOnline, the number one sports betting source for the new year. From touchdowns to three-pointers and hat tricks, BetOnline has you covered on every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. We're down to three. Roky Sasaki next season is either going to pitch for the Los Angeles Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, or the Toronto Blue Jays. And that reported mystery team that everybody was trying to figure out who it was, looks like it is the Toronto Blue Jays as that mystery team. The two favorites from the get-go, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Blue Jays, the surprise team that has made it to the final stages. No Yankees, no Mets, no Giants, no Cubs. All those teams are out. Dodgers, Padres, Blue Jays. Obviously, I'm rooting for him to go to the American League team because I don't want to have to face Roky Sasaki as a member of the Dodgers rotation and the Padres rotation. Those rotations are already elite as it is. Adding a 23-year-old for the next half decade that can throw 101 miles an hour, obviously not going to be good to have to face those guys in a playoff series. So very much hoping that he goes to Toronto, but this feels like he's going to the Dodgers where he was rumored to go from the get-go. He's having a second meeting with them, and this just feels like we did all of this, this song and dance, these presentations, all for him to just end up in the place we all thought he was going to in the first place. But we'll see. We'll see if he picks another team.
The Dodgers rotation is just like, you think the Mets had the five aces back in the day with Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler and Steven Matz, Matt Harvey. No. Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Roky Sasaki are just three out of the five pitchers or six pitchers that the Dodgers can have in their starting rotation opening day. Let's not forget Tyler Glasnow. Let's not forget Blake Snell. Like, one of these guys is going to have to be their five starter, Chris. And
you did mention Dustin May.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's absurd. It really looks like that's the way this is going to go. The no Mets, no Yankees news is disappointing, but not unexpected. I'll say we kind of expected from the beginning he was going to end up on the West Coast, either with the Dodgers because of obviously the Japanese power they have with Shohei Ohtani and with Yoshinobu Yamamoto already in their rotation, or he would go to play with the Padres and his, I guess, childhood hero, Yu Darvish, in the Padres rotation in San Diego. So I feel really bad, Chris, for Blue Jays fans because
here we go again. Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge.
There was the Ohtani plane. Yeah, there was the Judge. There was the Juan Soto sweepstakes that they were allegedly in on. And
here we go.
Man, if you're a Blue Jays fan and you're listening to this podcast, please let us know if you have any faith that your team is going to sign Roky Sasaki. I don't know if you've been hurt so many times that you don't even expect this to be true, but it just, like I said, seems like he's going to end up on the West Coast and be another elite piece in an elite rotation.
Well, the Blue Jays have their own internal problems, and don't worry, we're going to get to those internal problems here on the podcast today because they now directly involve the New York Mets. And so they've got issues with players on their roster that are under contractual obligations for 2025, notwithstanding the Ohtani pursuit, the Juan Soto pursuit, the now Roky Sasaki pursuit. And they now, I think, have become what the Giants have been for the last couple of years, right? That team that always finishes second, right? That doesn't get it over the finish line. Aaron Judge, they offered Judge more money than the Yankees. He didn't go there. They tried to sign Carlos Correa. We know how that ended up for everybody involved in the Carlos Correa sweepstakes.
Yep.
Like, they have missed on all these free agents. Now, this offseason, a little different. Willie Adames, Justin Verlander, they're starting to land some bigger fish, right? The Blue Jays, they still are waiting. Like, is George Springer count? I think they have a little buyer's remorse over that contract. And so this would be a coup for them, right? This would be a home run. This is a frontline starter that they can anchor their rotation for the next half decade at least, if not more, if not the rest of his career. And so I think he's going to the Dodgers. I think he's going to join that rotation, and I think it's going to be scary. The National League West is going to be a 12-round championship-level boxing match. Like, the yeah. Giants are going for it. The Diamondbacks almost won 90 games last year with half of a rotation. The Padres, they could land Roky Sasaki. Even if they don't, they have three really good starters at the front of their rotation. Look at their lineup. The Dodgers, even if Sasaki doesn't pick them, they have Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman in their offense. And then pitching-wise, they have Shohei Ohtani, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto. Like, the National League West, other than the Rockies, is going to be an absolute war. But that's not what we do here on the show. This is a Mets podcast. So Roky Sasaki not picking the New York Mets. Going to either pick the Dodgers, the Padres, or the Blue Jays. But the Mets were interested. Now, the Mets were probably interested because this is a 23-year-old player. But the Mets were also interested because, let's face it, you look at their rotation, still feels like there's something missing. So Sasaki, they've been told that they're out. What is the pivot? What do they do here? Because there's not a lot of big free agent names left. The trade market, at least as it sits right now, has been pretty quiet. And I think we both feel that the Mets need to add at least one more starter. Who is that starter going to be?
That's a really good question, Chris. And I don't know that either of us have a bona fide solution just because of what the market looks like right now. And it's generally been pretty slow with a lot of these starting pitchers. There have been some monster contracts handed out, like Corbin Burns to the Diamondbacks and Max Fried to the Yankees. But from the Mets standpoint, as we've seen, as we've discussed, they've been handing out a lot shorter deals with, you know, medium AAV in terms of how the rest of the market has panned out, including, you know, signing Clay Holmes with the idea that he could be a starter. But when I look at the remaining free agents in the starting pitching market right now, I'd say the name that stands out is the guy that's probably the best free agent left available, being Jack Flaherty. And Chris, before we started recording, we talked about how we perceive Jack Flaherty as Mets fans.
Hold on. If we're going to do this bit, because we did this bit in the pre-show, if we're going to do the bit, I want to do it as accurately as possible. So I'm going to filibuster here, because I'm going to pull up the stat line just to make sure that if we're going to do this, we do this correctly, okay? That's what I want to make sure we do this fairly. The last time I remember seeing Jack Flaherty pitch a baseball game, it was against my baseball team, and he went 3 innings, 8 hits, 8 earned runs, 4 walks in the 12-6 win for the Mets in Game 5 to force the series back to L.A. Now, I'm pretty sure Jack Flaherty pitched after that. I believe he pitched in the World Series. But the last time I remember him pitching, when I saw him with my own two eyes against my team, the Mets offense, which didn't have Juan Soto on it, smacked him around for 3 innings.
Yes. However,
that's how I remember Jack Flaherty. That's how I remember free agent pitcher Jack Flaherty. And oh, by the way, he followed that up with, let me just make sure here. I mean, he did better in the start against the Yankees in the playoffs, but I remember 3 innings, 8 earned runs. That's what I remember.
Yeah. So again, not great for the Mets fans who might be listening and thinking, oh my God, Jack Flaherty, he's not good, is he? Well, when you look at the rest of his stats from the regular season, he kind of has the reverse Walker Buehler look. When you look at what Buehler did during the regular season versus the postseason, obviously had a couple excellent performances against the Mets, had that shutdown final inning in the World Series. But Walker Buehler did not have a very good regular season. Jack Flaherty, in contrast, had a much weaker postseason, but in the regular season, he went 13-7, 3.17 ERA, 162 innings pitched, 194 strikeouts. And Chris, when I'm looking at his baseball his Statcast page here, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of red. His whiff percentage is high. His K percentage is high. Walk percentage or walk percentile, very high, which is not something that the Mets have been successful at preventing, at least in the last year. And by the way, he throws a sinker and he has a slider that could be turned into a sweeper. So I look at Jack Flaherty's profile and I think he's the kind of top of the rotation arm that the Mets could really, really use to bolster one that frankly is looking pretty incomplete as we stand here halfway through January.
Yeah. 95th percentile K percentage for Jack Flaherty, a 79th percentile walk rate. So he's elite at both of those things. I mean, I do look at a 7.36 postseason ERA last year, and that scares me a little bit, where we know where the Mets are trying to get to. You don't sign Juan Soto and be like, oh, I'm just happy to be here in the playoffs. You want to go far, and if you sign Jack Flaherty, the expectation is that's probably going to be one of the three guys you turn to in a short series, and he had a 7.36 ERA in the postseason last year. He's 29. He won't turn 30 until the postseason next year, so he'll get his entire age 29 season. Look, I think the contract has to match. If Jack Flaherty's looking for a 5 or 6 year deal, he's knocking on David Stearns' office door is not the place to look. You're not getting it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances might be.
Right.
If he wants a short term, if the market continues, here's what I would compare it to. And I think this, you know what? I think this is a great comparison. And I came up with this on the fly. Jordan Montgomery won a World Series with Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to cash in. And he got traded, didn't he, in the middle of the season from the Cardinals to the Rangers? This analogy gets even better. He was a mid-season trade by the Cardinals to the Rangers, if I'm remembering my history correctly. He then, in the postseason, went on a tear, a little bit of the opposite of Flaherty, but then hit the offseason, hit free agency, and was like, oh, Scott Boras, my agent, I'm going to cash in. Here comes my 5-6 year deal. Boom, here I go. And then in spring, he just all of a sudden signed a 2 year deal with the Diamondbacks because his market didn't materialize the way that he thought it could. That is exactly how I see Jack Flaherty becoming a Met would play out. Is we would get into the end of this month, maybe the beginning of February, and Jack Flaherty's still sitting out there, and the Mets go, hey man, would you take like a 2 year deal with a super high AAV and an opt out after 1 year or something? Like, and Jack Flaherty goes, yeah, sure, I'll pitch for a team that, you know, was in the NLCS last year and potentially could be playing for a World Series next year. Yeah, sure, I'll take my chances. Like, that's how this plays out. The Mets don't offer Jack Flaherty. If Sean Manaea couldn't get a four-year deal from the New York Mets, Jack Flaherty's not getting a four-year deal from the New York Mets. Like, it's just not happening. And so if somebody's willing to go to that fourth year, they'll get Jack Flaherty. If nobody is willing to do that, then Jack Flaherty, and I think any free agent, comes to the place of, all right, what's the best short-term solution for me? And that's where winning becomes more of a priority. That's where situation becomes more of a priority. And that's where a team like the Mets can then be an attractive place where if I'm going to sign for 1 or 2 years, yeah, let me go to the New York Mets. They're trying to win right now. They're pushing all their chips in the middle. They're competing. I'd love to join that. And so that's where I see Jack Flaherty signing. And that's not even weighing the pros or cons of what I want Jack Flaherty on the team. But that's just the way I see it playing out. I don't see him signing a long-term, super long-term deal with the New York Mets if he's going to come here.
Right. And a couple of important notes here is, one, he started the 2024 season on a one-year deal with the Detroit Tigers before he ended up getting traded to the Dodgers halfway through the season. And one other thing is, I think you can really attribute his lack of postseason success to running out of gas, much as we did with Luis Severino and with Sean Manaea and what happened to the Mets rotation down the stretch, those two guys in particular. When you look at Jack Flaherty's innings pitch numbers over the last 4 years, I'll start in 2021 since 2020 wasn't a full season, but he only threw 78 and a third in 2021, 36 in 2022, up to 144 right in 2023, but his ERA was near 5, signs a one-year deal with Detroit, and between Detroit and LA, throws 162 innings in 2024. And
makes 23 starts in 2021 and 2022 combined, and then over the next two seasons makes 55 starts.
Like, right. And you also have to consider the fact that over the last two seasons, Chris, he's played for four different teams, right? He started the 2023 season with the Cardinals, got traded to the Orioles, ended up signing a deal with the Tigers, and then got traded to the Dodgers. So there's not been a lot of consistency for him to be able to succeed and thrive, and he's still kind of, it seems like, working his way back into a more full workload, and he was able to do that to great success this past season. I'm sure because of the success of the season, he's going to be looking for perhaps a longer term deal, but because the market is still iffy on him, given the fact that he still remains unsigned, it's possible that the Mets could be able to jump in and offer one of those shorter term medium to high AAV deals that might appease him enough to come to a team that could really use that kind of talent in their rotation.
Yeah, listen, the Mets need to add another starter. Do I think it's going to be Jack Flaherty? No. I think if they're going to add another starter, it's going to be via the trade variety. I mentioned to you in the pre-show that they just feel like the perfect landing spot for Jordan Montgomery because they can take on the money, and that's going to make my head explode, but it just feels like they are a team that's going to be interested in that market. And so even though the trade market in general has been pretty quiet right now, I think that's where the Mets land their next starting pitcher for this rotation rather than signing somebody like a Jack Flaherty to a big deal. Yeah. Let's pivot, and let's pivot to the Mets' potential pivot, because as we sit here, we are recording this podcast January 15th, 2025. Pete Alonso, still a free agent. The New York Mets, still without a first baseman. Just the days keep on churning by, and Pete Alonso, still a free agent. The Mets don't feel any need to wiggle off of their current situation. There's the back and forth between, did Pete Alonso offer the Mets a three-year deal? What offer have the Mets actually put in front of Pete Alonso? There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of staring at each other. There's a lot of conjecture of just get this deal done. I've heard that a ton. Just pay him. Just pay Pete. Get this over with. I've heard that sentiment a lot. Well, if that's the camp you fall in, got some bad news for you. Mets don't appear like they are wiggling one bit. Here is the latest on Pete Alonso, and this comes from Andy Martino of SNY. And my jaw hit the floor when I read both of these sentences. So what I'll do is I'll actually read directly from the tweet. And this was from the SNY Mets account. This is a direct quote that they pulled from a story from Andy Martino. Quote, "The Mets are holding the line with Pete Alonso, and Steve Cohen fully supports David Stern's approach." So that's a takeaway in and of itself, right? That's where we're going to stop there. But the juicy stuff's coming, but that's juicy in and of itself because you have David Stearns clearly, and I don't want to use the term playing hardball because he's not playing hardball. If the reported offer of 3 years, what was it, 3 years, $90 million is accurate, that's not playing hardball. That's more than any other free agent first baseman has gotten this offseason. You're not playing hardball. You're putting a better than market value contract in front of Pete Alonso. If he's choosing to not take it, he's the one playing hardball. And that approach, whatever the approach is by David Stearns, Steve Cohen has said, yep, I am fully on board. And everybody was concerned. If you were somebody that was anti-Pete, or at least you were in the camp of, I don't really think I want to see Pete back on the team in 2025. The concern that you had was Steve Cohen was going to step in and say, this is a homegrown Met. This is somebody that we've had forever. The fans love this guy. Get it done. I don't care what the amount is. And so far, and based on this story, Steve Cohen fully agrees with what David Stearns is doing. Why? Think of the world that Steve Cohen comes from. He comes from the hedge fund, stock market, Wall Street world, where it is data, it is analysis. You don't make emotional decisions. You make a decision based on reasoning, logic, and fact. And David Stearns has been able to make a reasonable, logical, analytical-based case to Steve Cohen to say, this is why we shouldn't go more than this. And guess what? That argument has worked. And so here, this doesn't mean David Stearns is operating this like it's the Milwaukee Brewers and a small market. 3 years, $90 million, ain't small market. But they are very comfortable in where they are at. They are very comfortable in their approach. Pete is the person who feels at least a little bit uncomfortable with where things stand.
I think the phrase holding the line that Andy Martino used in his report here is exactly what we expected when we were talking about this, a week ago in our last episode. We said, listen, the Mets have all the bargaining power. They already offered him this very generous contract by AAV, high AAV over a short-term span. It's clearly has some, sentimental factor, right? I don't know if he'd be getting this much money per year anywhere else. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he is a homegrown Met. But we were saying, Chris, that the Mets don't need to do anything now. They shouldn't go any higher than that. There's no reason for them to convince him even more that he should stay. They've made their case, and according to this report, they're holding the line. It seems like they're going to stick to this three-year, $90 million deal as their best offer on the table. Take it or leave it, Pete. Take it or leave it, Scott Boras, because I don't think that he's going to get anything like this, let alone better, anywhere else. And so the fact that both, obviously, David Stearns, the president of baseball operations, the guy in charge of making this decision, is on board with this, but also that Steve Cohen trusts him and isn't getting antsy, isn't getting worried that they should be opening their wallets even more for Pete Alonso just because of, what he's meant to this team. They're going to stick to what they believe is his value right now. And if that's $30 million a year for 3 years, so be it. If he ends up walking, Chris, it sounds like they might have another plan.
I just need to push back on one thing before we get into the plan. if you still refer to David Stearns as a small market executive, and I know we have the running bit here on this show, you can take David Stearns out of the small market, but you can't take the small market out of David Stearns. And listen, we do that in jest. We do it in joking. They gave Juan Soto $765 million. You lose your argument right there, okay? Stop. The New York Mets are not a small market operation. They do nothing in a small market way. We joke because David Stearns still doesn't want to give out a big-term contract to pitchers. He picks relievers out of thin air. They claimed somebody on waivers today, Warren from the Giants, fully expect him to be in the bullpen at some point during the year. Like, yeah. That type of stuff, we like to poke fun and you know, have our little quips about David Stearns being a small market. They gave $765 million to Juan Soto. They went out and spent more than anybody else was willing to spend on a 26-year-old free agent. You need to stop with this nonsense that the Mets are a small market organization and David Stearns isn't acting like he is a big market GM. He absolutely is. So please stop. Okay. So that was part one of the tweet that I saw. And then there's part two, among many alternatives. And I'm like, oh, great. This is going to be great. Now we'll know what the pivot plan is. Alex Bregman, is it moving Vientos to first base? Or what could they possibly be you know, cooking up in David Stearns' office, right? Among many alternatives, they have checked in on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Excuse me? You've done what now, David Stearns? You've called up Toronto? You've picked up those international charges for calling Canada? And you've said, hey, what's going on with Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Are you interested in trading a, what is he, 28-year-old first baseman?
25.
I aged him by 3 years. My sincerest apologies to the Guerrero family. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 25 years old. I think he makes $28 million this season, I think is where that number came from in my head.
Mm-hmm.
They called, took on the international charges, and said, hey, what's going on with Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Now, this could all be just a scare tactic to get Pete to sign the 3-year, $90 million deal. But if there's one thing I know about David Stearns, and if there's one thing I know about Steve Cohen, love a big splash, love making big moves, and guy hit 30 home runs last year. Guy hit .323 last year. Guy had an on-base percentage near .400 last year. Had a .165 WRC plus last year. Was worth 5.5 WAR. You know what? I'd empty the farm system for Vlad Guerrero Jr. and sign him to a contract extension. So, Pete, you know what? Take your time. Mull over the contract offer, talk to Scott. Take your time, because before you know it, maybe Vlad Guerrero Jr. will be wearing the blue and orange.
Chris, these New York Mets have a history of trading for superstar players from other teams that are in their mid-20s. I don't know if you've heard of a shortstop named Francisco Lindor, but he was coming off of his age 26 season when the Mets made the blockbuster trade to acquire him, and obviously the rest has been history. Look, Vlad Guerrero Jr. does two things. One, he plays baseball really, really well.
It's good. That's a very good start.
Two, he fills a need that the Mets have in their roster. A hard-hitting, power-hitting first baseman that adds some pop, adds punch to the lineup behind Juan Soto, behind Francisco Lindor, behind, you know, you could say Brandon Nimmo, I guess, or Mark Vientos. Like, he fits exactly what the Mets still need in a first baseman and an extra bit of power. So this would be a hell of a move. I don't know if it's going to happen, but Vlad Guerrero Jr. is really, really good at playing baseball. He hit 30 home runs last year after kind of a down year in 2023, which, by the way, still included 26 home runs and a 788 OPS. So, like, if that's the floor, sign me up.
His worst year in the last couple, he had a down year in 2023 when he only had a 118 WRC plus and he had a 1.3 WAR, right? That was a down year for Vlad Guerrero Jr. He hit .264 and hit 26 home runs and almost drove in 100 runs.
Yep.
That's a down year for Vlad Guerrero Jr. And I don't know how
he'll be 26.
I don't know how likely this is, right? We're going to talk about it here on the show because Andy Martino doesn't just put that out there. I know Andy Martino in Mets Twitter land, you either love him or you hate him. There's really no in-between. He doesn't make stuff up. He doesn't. And so he's heard that from somewhere. He's heard from some side of this that the Mets have called about Vlad Guerrero Jr. Now, what's the appetite of the Blue Jays to trade him? I don't know. If he's not going to sign a long-term contract extension with you, you've got to get something so that you can try to sell Bo Bichette on staying there long-term, so that you can try to build for your future. Because I'm here to tell you, you missed out on Roky Sasaki. See, maybe this is why I don't want Roky Sasaki to go there, because maybe Vlad wants to re-sign if Sasaki goes up there. Maybe that forces, if he's not going to sign a long-term contract extension, and by the way, it appears as if they are miles apart on what a contract looks like. You know who doesn't mind shelling out big dollars? Steve Cohen, baby. Does not mind shelling out big dollars.
Especially for a first baseman that's not on the wrong side of 30. For a first baseman who is 2 months away, March 16th, from turning 26. Like, that is a much more comfortable age to be spending big money on an extension, unlike, you know, what's been going on with Pete Alonso.
Here's what we know. David Stearns doesn't want to give players over 30 big contracts. He doesn't want to give starting pitchers over 30 big contracts. But they gave a 25, 26-year-old a 15-year deal in Juan Soto. They gave him a massive contract because he's 25, 26 years old. And so you're okay for the next decade. Let me just check my notes over here. Vlad Guerrero Jr., 25 years old. Same thing. Same appetite. Young star players who their prime is still in front of them, those are the players you lock to a long-term deal. Those are the players that you spend $400, $500, $600 million on. Those are the players that you break every single CBT threshold for. It's these players. It's not, no offense, but it's not the Jack Flaherty's of the world. It's not the Alex Bregman's of the world. It's not the Pete Alonso's of the world. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of the names we've discussed here on this show today. It's the Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s of the world. I don't know how likely this is. Here's what I do know. The Mets appear to be the perfect fit for the Blue Jays. You get them out of the American League, right? That's step number one. And you would think that any team that wants to trade for Vlad would want to do, this is what the Mets did with Johan Santana, right, when they traded for the Twins. Hey, we'll trade for him, but he's got to agree to an extension first. And so any team that's going to want to trade for Vlad is going to want to know that they can negotiate a contract with him and get that deal done. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Do you know who has more money than anybody else in baseball that can make that happen? It's the New York Mets. And so I'm not saying that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to be a New York Met. I don't even know if the Blue Jays are even remotely interested in it at this point. But if it were to come to that, and if the Mets wanted to pivot and go in a different direction, they appear to be in a really good spot to land Vlad Guerrero Jr. They have the positional need. They have the resources in terms of prospect capital. They have the financial resources to give him the extension, which is going to be important to Vlad. I think Vlad would like playing in New York, like playing with Soto, like playing with Lindor. I think those are all attractive things, and the Mets set up pretty nicely for this. But here is what today told us, and this is what we'll close the show with. The Mets are going to be patient. They are never going to force this issue with Pete Alonso. It's just not happening. They are very content in where they stand right now.
Yeah, they're not going to be the ones who blink here, Chris. It's going to be the Pete Alonso, Scott Boras camp, and if they find an alternative, whether it's Vlad Guerrero Jr. or someone else, they're going to go with that. If Pete wants to walk, they're going to let him do so, but they feel they've put the best offer down, and it's really up to Pete Alonso, Scott Boras, and the rest of their camp to decide what they want to do with it. I don't have any lack of trust that whatever David Stearns is doing and whatever ends up happening is going to end up long-term being the right solution.
I mean, how could you not at this point, right? How could you not? And now listen, again, I don't think the Blue Jays are in any urgency to move Vlad Guerrero Jr. Let me just make that very clear. But the Mets checking in is them basically saying, hey, if you do change your mind, we're here. We're in. Like, we're very intrigued by this. Maybe, just maybe, the next time we come to you with a podcast, we will finally get to do our top five prospects that could make an impact on the 2025 New York Mets. I don't know. If Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a Met the next time we do a show, I can promise you that's not happening. So I don't know what's going to happen between today and the next time we record over the weekend, but I can promise you at some point here in the near future, that episode will drop in your podcast feed. In the meantime, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, follow the show. I don't know. These apps nowadays, sometimes it's follow, sometimes it's subscribe. Just do the thing that allows you to get this podcast when it drops immediately. Whatever the button is called on your podcast app, just do that, please. Leave a review, subscribe to the show, follow the show. We will be back with another episode here in the near future. You want to watch the YouTube version of the show, the video version of the show, it is on Jack's YouTube channel, Jack McKessie, McKessy. And that's it. Roky Sasaki not coming to the Mets. The Mets potentially interested in Vlad Guerrero Jr. A lot for us to unpack here, and we did it all in 30 minutes. So shout out to us for sneaking all that in there. Jack, we'll talk to you next time. And everybody, as always, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.